for tapes, CDs, DVDs to our publication, Voices from His Excellent Glory, Declaring the Kingdom. Right, P.O. Box 21516, Hot Springs, Arkansas, zip 71903. Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com and LHBCOnline.com. There are many free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home.
This is a Friday evening service of July the 4th, 1997, of the Summer Family Camp Meeting being held at Lake Hamilton Bible Campgrounds, Hot Springs National Park, Arkansas. Colonel Speed Wilson will be the speaker for the evening.
This is now the conclusion of this message from Part A.
This headquarters on Presidio Island, and near outside of San Francisco, was established 6 months before Gorbachev, so-called, was overthrown in August 1991. How did they establish it? Nothing happens by accident, remember. The Rockefeller Foundation and the Carnegie Foundation, both tax-exempt, put $300 million into establishing the Gorbachev Foundation, and Gorbachev is supervising the destruction of our military bases in the United States. Lives on the island. Oh, brother. John Warner, when I was Deputy Director of Marine Corps Reserve, was a captain of the Marine Corps Reserve, and that was always a big laugh because when he became the Secretary of the Navy, I was his boss. John and I got a real well, and so when he became Senator, he recommended that myself and some other people he knew be included into the Republican Senatorial Inner Circle, and we go to Washington once a year for a briefing. And so I got a notice about 4 years ago, invited to come to Washington, and guess who the feature speaker was going to be? Gorbachev. And they paid him $70,000 to come and mouth off. So I wrote and told him to take my name off the list. And they still send me the stuff. I keep writing and telling them. I just wrote them once, and I said, you can save your postage. I'm not going to give you any money as long as you pay it out to people like Gorbachev. I will give directly to candidates of my choice. I contributed quite a lot to Ron Paul down in Texas and some others that I know. God bless it, Ron's back in Washington. Well, there's hope. But they're after him. And so I don't write him anymore because I like to see them spend all their money sending me a letter a week trying to collect some money. I don't even open them. I throw it in the chunk. Then the dime's difference is well said between the Republicans and the Democrats. We need a third party. Hallelujah. They say, well, you can't get elected as a third party. Well, tell Abraham Lincoln. He got elected as a third party. Well, Gorbachev, remember, nothing happens by accident. An excellent little book, 1988, when Pat Robertson is running for office, running for the presidency. If you like a little humor, I think it's the funniest thing. This is pretty heavy. I was making a full gospel businessman circuit and speaking in behalf of Pat Robertson down in the New Orleans and Mobile area. And a dear brother brought the New Orleans Picayune to me. And on the editorial page, it was the most perfect cartoon I've ever seen. It was a two-frame cartoon. It showed Pat Robertson on his knees and he's praying, God, if I'm to seek the presidency of the United States, you must give me a sign. Next frame. Here was George Bush over there just going up in flames. And Pat says, thank you, Lord, a burning bush. I sent that to Pat, and he got the original from the fellow that drew it. Valley of Decision, 1988, by Dr. Sterling Lacey. Valley of Decision. He was trying to tell the people who George Bush really is. By the way, George Bush was in the CIA when John Kennedy was killed, if that gives you a clue. He later became director of the CIA. This is what he writes. Most American Christians have a hard time believing that other Americans could be so evil as to purposely cause wars, wage wars for political and economic reasons, lose wars deliberately, aid the other side while our fighting men are dying on the battlefield, sink our national sovereignty to prepare America just to be another province in a world government, promote collectivism, that's communism, and immorality in order to prepare America for the New World Order, destroy the family and all true faith in God, in order to break down the final barriers of opposition and purposely undermine the most rewarding economic system that working people and the poor people have ever experienced in all the history of mankind. All just to create the chaos, remember that now, all the chaos needed to stampede an entire nation into demanding its own slavery, its own enslavement. Well, a book in 1975 by Ralph Epperson was one of the first I'd ever read that was pretty well all-inclusive on this sort of thing. And then here he writes in the book, The Unseen Hand, he says, there is a huge, extreme, powerful conspiracy, he called it a conspiracy, at work in the world to achieve absolute and brutal control over the whole human race. That's their objective. This conspiracy is made up of small groups of individuals who control wars, revolutions, depressions, like people control chessmen on a board. These individuals operate in part through secret societies that are created for deliberate purposes. The secret within the secret is they worship Lucifer, Satan, the devil. Well, Satan does have power. Luke 4, verses 5 through 8, the devil took Jesus up onto a high mountain and showed him all the kingdoms of the world and said it to Jesus, all this power I will give you and all the glory that goes with it, which was given to me and to whomsoever I shall give it, if you will only bow down and worship me, all this shall be yours. And Jesus said, get thee behind me, Satan, it is written, you shall worship the Lord thy God, and him only will thy worship. Matthew 4:8 says the same thing. So Jesus didn't say it isn't yours to give. And before I forget it, the Masons are into this all the way through. I could quote Albert Pike and many others. Bob Dole is a 33rd degree Mason. And so was Harry Truman. And on down the line. Now we come to the real crux of the whole thing. I had read a little book. Very disgusted one night going, well, it was early in the morning, 3 o'clock, going home from the Pentagon after a real rough day. Turned on the radio, and here was The Voice of Freedom, sponsored by H.L. Hunt. Hunt's Ketchup and all that, and the Hunt brothers. Melvin Munn was the speaker, and after he finished the little discourse on what was happening in America and the world, he said, you'll never understand what's happening in the world until you really recognize the fact that there is a worldwide conspiracy. And if you will send us $2, we'll send you a copy of The Naked Capitalist. So I sent my $2 and got the book. And on the front of the cover, it says, this is a condensation and with editorial comment on Dr. Quigley's tome, I think he called it, Tragedy and Hope. I couldn't find a copy of Tragedy and Hope. The libraries didn't have it in Washington. I finally got a copy over in the Library of Congress. They wouldn't let me take it out, so I had to read it over there. It's nothing. It's not light reading. It's 1,384 pages. Big book. If you don't know who Dr. Carroll Quigley is, he was the protege, or our current president was one of his protégés. He said so in his acceptance of the Democrat presidential nomination. Also another great friend from Arkansas, J. William Fulbright, one of the number one traitors in the whole operation. Albert Pike was also from Arkansas. Can anything good come out of Arkansas? But listen to what Quigley wrote in 1966. Now, this is 1966, and it's right on. There does exist and has existed for generations an international Anglophile network that operates to some extent in the way that the radical right believes the communists work. In fact, this network, which we may identify as the roundtable groups, has no aversion to cooperating with the communists or any other group, and frequently do. I know of the operations of this network because I've been a part of it for 20 years, and in the last 2 years have been permitted to examine their papers and their secret records. The American branch of this organization, some call the Eastern Establishment, has played a significant role in the history of the United States in the last generation. It's New York. In New York, it's known as the Consul on Foreign Relations. The object of this organization is to establish nothing less than a world system of finance controlled by private hands, able to dominate the political system of the entire country and the economic system of the whole world. Continuing, freedom of choice will be controlled within a very narrow range of alternatives by the fact that every person will be numbered, social security number, from birth and followed as a number through educational training, required military or public service, tax contributions. Don't you like that word, contributions? Health and medical requirement, finally to retirement, and then death benefits. Next year, that was 1966, 1967, Robert McNamara, one of the biggest conspirators in the whole group, was Secretary of Defense for 7 years. His objective was to destroy the military power of the United States, and he did. We dropped our service numbers, and everybody became known as a Social Security number. I'd like for you to hear the main calling of their United Nations, and we'll get into that, but I'll just read it now. Here's the preamble to the UN, our New World Order Constitution. It's already been written. Better pay attention because we're no longer a sovereign nation. We'll get to that also. Ever since the second day of April, 1992, we've no longer been a sovereign nation. Therefore, it says, the preamble says, therefore, the age of nations must end and the age of humanity must begin. Doesn't that sound great? The governments of nations, not the people, the governments, have decided in order to separate sovereignties into one government of justice to which they surrender their arms to establish this Constitution as the covenant and fundamental law of the Federal Republic of the world. They call it now the world without borders. They're wiping out the border between the United States and Mexico right now. They're extending it. They can never get it through Congress, so they do it by executive order or treaties.
60 miles wide.
Yeah, 60 each wide, each side of the border. And if we can't keep them out with the border, you can imagine what's going to happen now. And it's not we the people. It's just the governments and their constitutional stuff. Well, I don't like to suppose what they're going to do. We just use their own words. Rowan Gaither, president of the Ford Foundation, in testimony given to the United States Commission, a congressional commission, on, get this, subversion by the tax-free foundations in 1953. They knew they were subversive. In fact, in 1971, Edsel Ford resigned from the board of directors of the Ford Foundation, stating that I will no longer be a part of that foundation because it's anti-Christian, it's anti-American, and it's pro-communist. He could have said worse. And this is what he said. This is the president of the Ford Foundation. We at the executive level, here at the Ford Foundation, were active in the Office of Strategic Services, that's the OSS, which later became the CIA, and in the State Department or the European Economic Administration. We operated under the directives issued directly from the White House. We continued to be guided by just such directives, the substance of which were and are to the effect that we should make every effort to so alter life in these United States as to make it possible for a comfortable merger with the Soviet Union. So their purpose is to bring us down to the level of the Gulag Archipelago. Now, if you'll keep that in mind, that all of their actions are to destroy the United States, then you can understand world affairs. And the government is not your friend. They've defined you as their enemy. Well, Paul Warburg, that's an interesting fellow, of the J.P. Morgan Foundation, told the same congressional commission in 1953, said this, "We shall have a world government whether you like it or not. The only question is, will it be by consent or conquest?" Boy, you can't misunderstand that, can you? Well, by the way, Paul Warburg's an interesting guy. He's the one that drafted the legislation for the Federal Reserve in 1913. And at the end of World War II is very interesting. Paul Warburg, same Paul Warburg, represented the United States, and his cousin Alexander Warburg represented Germany. Can you imagine that arrangement? And now, 44 years later, the conspiracy, they have accomplished their objectives of the New World Order almost easily with consent. No dissent. Well, let's look briefly at the origin of its origins, organizations, operations, and its objectives. I've just briefly touched on its origin. By the way, the current day conspiracy started the first day of May 1776 with the Rothschilds and Weishaupt, and I won't get into it. But there's an excellent book back here, The Guardians of the Grail by J.R. Church. It's actually, I think it started in Babylon, but he can pinpoint it as starting around 1011, way back there when the Habsburgs, who claimed to be the offspring of a child between Jesus and Mary Magdalene, and they really believe it. By the way, one of the Habsburgs is the head of the European Union Parliament right now. And they call themselves the, what is it, the Kings of Salem. Jerusalem, Kings of Salem. So, yeah, that was the one I mentioned, Guardian of the Grail. That's the one I gave the title of it. Guardian of the Grail, outstanding. So that's how it began. Weishaupt was had gone as high as he could go in witchcraft. He was a Jesuit Roman Catholic priest of Jewish background. And for him to go any further, he needed three books, the Kabbalah, which is the basic document for all false religions, and the major works of Solomon, the major, minor works of Solomon, and the Rothschilds had them in 1776. And so they founded it on the first day of May 1776, because that's the birthday of Baltane, the god of light. And so they became the light bearers and called themselves the Illuminati. And they founded the Golden Dawn Coven. The branch of the Golden Dawn Coven is the Bohemia Club out near San Francisco. They are Satan worshipers. George Bush is a third generation member of the Yale Skull and Bones, a Satan organization. They say, well, George says, God bless you. He's not talking about the gods you have in mind at all. Ask him to say Jesus is Lord and see how far you get. Organizations. Well, there's the one world government, world without borders. Of course, that's the United Nations. It's the Rockefellers bought the land and you and I built the building. Absolutely unconstitutional. We can't be a member of such organizations. When the membership of the United States came up to be a member of the League of Nations, we never became a league because it was very clear. You get it in the congressional record. We could not be, because we could only enter into treaties with countries who have clearly defined borders and a definable citizenry. The United Nations and the League didn't fulfill that at all. And so when this came up for the United Nations, Sam Irwin, senator from one of the Carolinas, he brought that up. And he said, I checked the Constitution, and it hasn't been amended, so we can't be a member. What's the Constitution? They went ahead and did it anyway. Well, there was a human rights treaty. Every president since 1945 had refused to sign that United Nations Human Rights Treaty, because if that treaty was ever signed and ratified by the Senate, it becomes the law of the land. Well, James Carter signed the Human Rights Treaty 5 October 1977. George Bush submitted it to the Senate, and the Senate, by voice vote, so you'll never know who voted for or against it, passed it, ratified it, second day of April, 1992, and on that day, we ceased to be a sovereign nation. I have the whole treaty if you want to read it. That's the reason we're transferring our troops to the United Nations. That's the reason the United Nations is taking over, and we'll get into that in a minute. That's the reason Gorbachev is here and all of that sort of stuff. It's coming very rapidly. A bunch of treason people violating it. Organizations, United Nations is the world government. The British Institute of International Affairs is sort of the granddaddy of most of them. Most interesting member of the Royal Institute of International Affairs was Joe Kennedy, the father of the Kennedy brothers. As I last count, it's an endangered species. But out of the RIIA came the Council on Foreign Relations. Well, ever since that was in 1921, and ever since that time, David Rockefeller has been the chairman of that CFR. It has about 2,000 to 2,500 members, and you become a member by invitation only. And then there's the Trilateral Commission. By the way, every government we've had, beginning with Woodrow Wilson, every president has been a member of one of these conspiracy organizations, with one exception. Would you guess who? Ronald Reagan's the only one. But he had to take the number one conspirator, George Bush, as his vice president. And I could go into great detail on that. Trilateral Commission, 1973. Trilateral means 90 members from the United States and Canada. See, they've always treated us as one nation. And 90 members from the European Union and 90 members from the Pacific Rim, Japan, Korea, Taiwan, China, etc. And that makes up the Trilateral Commission. Then in 1952 is the Bilderberger Group, or Bilderberg. They created an organization that would include both the Rockefellers and Rothschilds, and the Bilderberg is pretty well it. They met in a hotel over in Vienna, was called the Bilderberg Hotel. And Prince Bernhard of the Royal Dutch or Netherlands, and you'll recognize him because he is the Shell Oil Company, North American Phillips, and every one of these little cassettes that we have over here, he gets a royalty off of it because North American Phillips owns the patent on the little cassette and all the others. And that's another gas I don't buy, Shell. And so they combine those. Now, I have a chart here that will be available to you. It tells you who they are. You've got to have a program to know who your enemy really is. All the news media, no wonder you don't get the straight in profession and truth. They're all members of the conspiracy. The financial institutions, then the right on down the line, the government, and then the various departments, Federal Reserve, Department of Defense, and Department of the State, and our ambassadors, and all the others. And then over here, all the big corporations, all the union leaders are all a part of the conspiracy. And right on down the line. And on the back is one of the best presentations on the Federal Reserve I've ever read. And that's available back there for 25 cents. And we have another here in a minute that we'll show you. And it's even better. Well, just in case I forget, this is the best discourse on the conspiracy I've ever seen in a compact organization. It's called Conspiracy for Global Control. I am not a member of the John Birch Society, never have been a member of the John Birch Society, because I had enough problem taking care of what I was talking about rather than have that tongue around my neck. And the reason you think there's something wrong with the John Birch Society is because they've been trying to expose this outfit for years, and that's the reason the news media tells you that John Birchers are bad guys. I wanted to tell you that because when you open it up in there, you'll find that out. But that is the best. It has the chart in it, which I put in there, and you can have that for $2 back here. And if anybody listening to this by tape would like to have those two items, if you send me a dollar, I'll send you the chart. Just ask for the chart. And if you'd like to have the magazine and the chart, send me $5. Reason the markup is, you know, the postage is pretty high. And you just send it to Speed Wilson, 4453. Provence, P-R-O-V-E-N-S, Drive, Akron, A-K-R-O-N, Ohio, zip 44319-4528. Got it? Over and out. Rhodes Scholars, that's a ringer for you. Let me read you. Sir Francis Riley, the first Oxford trustee of Rhodes Scholars. Quote, "This is not an educational endowment, as ordinarily understood. Its purpose is not to give anybody an education he couldn't otherwise receive, nor to promote learning. But it is to encourage a rising generation of English-speaking people in a particular outlook on the problems of the world, indeed to give them, in fact, a political bias, brainwash. This idea of using scholarships as an instrument of political purposes came to Mr. Rhodes, and it took shape in his will in 1893. So don't be too impressed with Rhodes Scholars, nor if they come from Columbia University in New York. That's Henry Kissinger, Zbigniew Brzezinski, Alexander Haig, Eisenhower, and Albright, Secretary of State. You can go right on down. It's a real training ground for world conspirators. Who? Yale and Hartford are right along next. There's an excellent book by Wendell Williams, black fellow from George Mason University. They had him on the 700 Club. He and Pat both went to Yale University. And Walter Williams has written a book entitled Poison Ivy. It's talking about the Ivy League. He's right on. He's a black man that tells it like it is. Here's a question that he's asked. Why is it that somebody can come from Asia or India to the United States and some other places, Japan, China, they don't even speak English. And they come over here and within five or six years, they graduate at the head of their class. And here we are, have always been in America, and we're sitting around waiting for a welfare check. He says, there has to be something wrong there somewhere. They got the chip on their shoulder. It's attitude, different attitude. The Asians are glad to have the opportunity. The rest of them yield it to me. I've got news for you. My parents never owned a slave. My grandparents never owned a slave. And that's it. So to heck with it. We're all Americans. Let's get on with it. I love Whoopi Goldberg. Have you heard the joke? I think it's just great. The Jewish family and their son came over here to get the education. So he fell in love. And he wrote back, and his mother and all of them, and they said, well, what's your name? He says, oh, it's Smith. I said, oh, you better get it. No, not so good. So he tried two or three times, and finally called back and says, I found a good one. Her last name's Goldberg. What's her first name? He said, Whoopi. I don't know whether they approved of that marriage or not. But I wanted to tell you that because, dear Whoopi, bless her heart, at the Oscar Award 2 years ago, boy, was she ticked off at Reverend Jesse Jackson. And all the others were telling them to boycott that because black folks wasn't running the whole thing. Well, they were, predominantly. She said, I've been to Africa. I'm not an African-American. I'm American. Don't ever call me an African-American. Praise the Lord. We're all Americans. Glory to God. Thank God the black ones that died in World War II are getting their dues now. Well, their operations. Well, some of their other organizations. Oh, by the way, and Glenn and the others can tell you, that a year before Clinton became president, I told him that he would probably be our next president. Why did I know that? Because he attended the Bilderberger meeting a year before. Rhodes Scholar, Trilateral Commission, Council of Foreign Relations, Bilderberger. He's the only one we've ever had. It belonged to all of them. By the way, they just had a meeting down near Atlanta the middle of June, and here are some good members that attended. Hillary Clinton, General Colin Powell, CFR member. Yeah, there's a whole, I can give you the list of them. Read about it. You have to get these offbeat news. Spotlight does, and I'll give you that address in a minute. Spotlight reports it in detail, who attended and what they said and everything else. By the way, last year when they met in Canada, David Rockefeller made this statement. We must move rapidly toward our objectives because the window of opportunity is closing due to the rapid rise of nationalism. They're getting upset. People are listening to what we've been trying to tell you for many years. And they're waking up. They've seen Waco. They've seen Ruby Ridge. And they've gone down. They've seen Oklahoma City. And federal government, if there's any terrorists in the country, it's federal government. The FBI is called the federal baby incinerators. And they fry them. The operation. 1810. Meyer Rothschild, the father of the whole thing, Satan worshiper with Weishaupt, wrote in his memoirs, he said this, give me control of a nation's money and I don't care who makes its laws. So, and we could go into how that struggle has gone on. Hamilton was a conspirator and all of that, wanted his central bank come on up. But in 1913, we created, as I pointed out, but Paul Warburg and a group drafted the Federal Reserve Act and submitted it to Congress when most of the Congress was home on Christmas vacation, the 23rd day of December 1913. But the conspirators stayed behind, and Woodrow Wilson convened a special session of Congress, and they passed the Federal Reserve Act. But you can read in the congressional record that the father of Charles Lindbergh went on for pages after pages telling what this was going to do. And he was right on. See, he lived in New York, and he's close enough to get back for the whole session, and it's worked out just well. Federal Reserve. It isn't federal. Has no reserve. It's a privately owned corporation. I love a fellow that I used to know real well, Lenny Anderson, and he loved it. See, the Federal Reserve note is nothing. It's just a piece of paper. But it's very interesting that when they issue that money, they have to pay about 3 cents a bill, whether it's a $1 bill, a $5 bill, or a $100 bill. The print cost is not the same. But they issue them to the banks on face value, and we have to put an equal amount of treasury notes into the Federal Reserve. So they create money out of nothing, and we pay interest on it. Isn't that something? There's nothing back of it. Old Lenny Anderson used to, when he'd go to check out of a restaurant, he would say, I'm sorry, I should have asked this before I ate, but would you accept an unredeemable certificate issued by a non-existent bank? And they say, what? Would you accept a non-redeemable certificate issued by a non-existent bank? Well, of course not. He said, well, how about this? And he gives them a Federal Reserve note. And he says, whether you like it or not, that's what that is. It's just an imagination. It's a number. I love what's on the back of that chart I showed you a while ago. Oh, the guy that wrote Tom Clancy, who wrote Red October, Honest Money, many others. He points out that it's all in your head. That isn't worth a thing. It's a piece of paper. It's back of nothing. It's a number. In fact, most of the, quote, money in the world isn't even printed, and it isn't in a coin. It's in a computer. It's a number. When you get your Social Security, it's a number from one computer to the other number to your Social Security number. It's a number. And he came to the conclusion, do you think the government's going to run out of numbers? No. But they have the power to tell you they've run out of money. And boy, you want to see some riots. Chaos could occur right quick. So they have control. Absolutely unconstitutional. Section 8, paragraph 3 of the Constitution says Congress reserves the right to coin and print money and control the value thereof. Can't be delegated. The Ninth Circuit Court of Appeals ruled the Federal Reserve is a privately owned corporation. And here are the people that own it. And the third largest item in our national budget is interest on the national debt, and here who gets it. The Rothschild Banks of London and Berlin, the Warburg Banks of Hamburg and Amsterdam, the Lazarus Brothers of Paris, Israel Moses Schiff Banks of Italy, Kuhn Loeb of New York, Lehman Brothers of New York, Goldman Sachs of New York, and Chase Manhattan Bank. Secretary Treasurer Rubin came from the board of directors on Goldman Sachs. It's a privately owned corporation, absolutely has absolute control of our money. Remember what Abraham Lincoln says? Corporations will be enthroned and our republic is doomed. Well, here's what they say that they'll control. The General Agreements of Trade and Tariffs, GATT, and the North American Free Trade Act, NAFTA. It's not fair. It's free. Patrick Buchanan, and I've introduced him 3 times in Ohio, got to know he and his wife rather well. Ruth and his wife got along real well. He knows about this, and he knew he was running a rough time. And Patrick Buchanan, because he said, I am not for free trade, I am for fair trade. And he says, if I became president, there would be no more foreign aid. It was his wife that was with him. I never met his sister. And the reason he said that, and then he'd explain it. If we trade with Japan, they charge 20% tariff on everything that's American that comes into the country. Trade with China, 30% tariff of everything of ours that goes into China. No tariff on ours. You go down to Mexico and Juarez or Tijuana or Brownsville, Texas, or Matamoros, and you'll find Mexican trucks lined up to come across the border. Look on the other side, no trucks. They won't let our trucks in Mexico. Talk about free trade? No, we're going to have fair trade. And those trucks coming out of Mexico are loaded with dope and many other things. So, now that makes no sense, but you got to remember, they want to reduce the United States to the level of the Soviet peasant or the peon in Mexico, whichever way. So it makes sense once you know it. And to destroy our faith in the armed forces and to destroy the armed forces. No-win wars like Korea, Vietnam, Persian Gulf, men killed, equipment destroyed. We didn't lose the war in Vietnam militarily. In fact, General Gap, who was the head of the North Vietnamese Army, and their foreign minister both said the same thing. We won the war in Washington, D.C. and Paris, France. Why would they say that? Because when the annual budget came up in 1974, Senators Church, By, McGovern, Javits, Fulbright, and Case, all attached an amendment to the budget which said no appropriated funds will be spent in Southeast Asia. We cut off their supply, their money, and they collapsed. That's what did them in. Gerald Ford told them that when his State of the Union, by the way, Gerald Ford had more Christians in his cabinet than any president before or after. Gerald Ford has a beautiful testimony of how he met the Lord when he was playing football at Michigan State. And his prayer partner was Secretary of Defense Melvin Laird and a congressman from Iowa. And they met every Wednesday for prayer. And by the way, he won the election against Carter. And he waited 4 days, do you remember, before he conceded the election because they rigged all the machines in New York to juggle the votes. And if he'd had the electoral votes of New York State, he would have been the president and not Carter. And President Ford was so upset that his wife read the concession message. And they told him, you step down or we'll give you some JFK treatment. And the same thing. Of course, Nixon beat Kennedy, too, but that's another story. And then we talk about elections in other countries. Come on. Well, they amended it, so they collapsed. Here's another way they're destroying the armed forces. Sodomites in the armed forces. I had to contend with some of those when I was a commanding officer of Marine Corps Air Station Iwakuni, but it's very simple. They had to make the statement in their enlistment that they were not homosexual, and as far as they knew, they had no homosexual tendencies. So when they were caught, you just simply called them in, as I did, and the sergeant major bring them in, and you give them a choice. Face a general court-martial for lying on your enlistment form. That's a felon, and you can spend 2 or 3 years in Leavenworth. Or you can take a general discharge. It's not an honorable discharge, but you'll get a dishonorable if you go to court. And, of course, they all take the general discharge, and it says you're discharged for the good of the service. How about that? The service improved when you left. But now you can't do that. Here's one. Women in combat. Good God. These people that are saying that have never been in the armed forces nor on a battlefield. Israel tried that stupid thing. And Israel says, you Americans are crazy. Because as they pointed out, and this is what two commandants of the Marine Corps and the current one, Krulak, who I had command of when he was a captain in Okinawa, good man, so was his father. And they have said, as long as I'm commandant of the Marine Corps, women will never serve in combat. And here's the reason why. It's just built into men. If a woman's in trouble, they go rescue her. And says, we'll kill more people than you can imagine. And it's a scientific fact that the upper portion of a woman's body is one half the strength of a man's. And their center of gravity is a little low to run very fast. A woman is broad right where a woman's supposed to be broad. And they just don't move that fast. And if these people think they're equal, why don't they compete equally in athletics? And why do they have a different training course for them at all the academies? I'm not against women in the armed forces. I'm all for it. I married a Marine. The headlines in our home paper said, Buck Wilson married a Marine. Well, and then they had a picture of my wife and I in uniform. I was a captain and she was a staff sergeant, and that cleared that thing up. But women can do anything that a man can do in the maintenance, and it takes 5 or 6 support personalities to support one man in combat. Women can do all of those. They can test fly airplanes, which they did, and they can do all of that, but combat, no way. And it's still a gain because you've released a man to go fight. And God bless you for being in the Air Force. I am not against it. When the ERA was on, you know, the Equal Rights for Women, the Equal Rights Amendment, they asked dear old John Wayne, you know. I think John had more time in the Marine Corps than I did in his movies. But they said, Mr. Wayne, how do you feel about this equal rights for women? He said, I'm all for it. They've been superior too long. I love it. I love it. I love it. I worked into a bunker up near the DMZ, and in the demilitarized zone, the communists had 40,000 troops. They were shooting us out of the DMZ, but we couldn't shoot back. I went into a bunker, and here sat a real sharp sergeant behind the desk, a sergeant administrator. Boy, was he sharp looking. And on the front of the desk, it said, "This is the way I think John Wayne would do it." Oh, great. Well, as a result of the Gulf War and our defeat and abandonment of South Vietnam, we don't have any equipment. The B-52s and a lot of those are older than the people flying them. They're absolutely obsolete. We don't have a strategic defense initiative, and we need one badly. We need it worse now than when the Soviet are in Iran. Most of the people seem to think that we do have an SDI, a strategic defense. No, we don't. It's dead. Because we made a treaty with the Soviet Union that we would stop the anti-ballistic missile system. And we honor that treaty. The Soviet Union doesn't exist anymore. And we're honoring a treaty with somebody that doesn't exist. It's worse than the Federal Reserve. But the objective is to destroy the United States, not for us to survive. We're building them up again. Well, they're sort of a... We'll get to that in a minute when we come to China. They're the middle house to support and build up China. Right now, we're busy transferring our armed forces to NATO. That sounds great, doesn't it? Well, Lord Carrington is a member of NATO. He's the Secretary General of NATO. And by the way, as I mentioned, I might not have mentioned, when Henry Kissinger, and he's Mr. 666, if you don't think so, get my tape, it's here. See, a lot of these things that the rapture people think is going to happen when they're gone are already happening. They're missing it. And it's happening. He's the head man. When Henry Kissinger and Lord Carrington, head of NATO now, when they went to Rhodesia was turned over to the communists and became Zimbabwe. By the way, the same thing happened in Zaire just recently. That's all a part of the Rockefeller Rothschild to tie up the diamonds and all the other stuff that's there. And then when they went to South Africa, we turned that over to the communists also. And so watch Henry Kissinger and Lord Carrington. Oh, and also in Iran, when they went over and Lord Carrington and Henry Kissinger went and got the Shah to pull out, who was our friend, and put the communist Ayatollahs in. So if you, by the way, Henry Kissinger just recently visited Benjamin Netanyahu, the prime minister of Israel. And I was told that the news media showed that when Benjamin Netanyahu came out, his face was as white as a sheet. So I guess Kissinger told him, "You've had it, man. You do what we tell you or down the tube with you." And they can do that. So we transfer our armed forces to NATO. Then guess who will eventually have control of the NATO forces? It's the United Nations. And the Secretary General, as I mentioned before, of the Security Council is always a Russian. Here's some interesting things. The great base of Fort Dix and the McGuire Air Force Base right next to it in New Jersey is now a United Nations facility.
Please turn the tape over for the conclusion of this message on Side 2.
base right next to it, and New Jersey is now a United Nations facility. Holloman Air Force Base in Alamogordo, New Mexico, is a German facility with the Luftwaffe base there. I've seen it. Long Beach Naval Base is becoming a Communist China facility, bringing large amounts of weapons in for the street gangs, AK-47s, lots of them coming in, uninspected, unchallenged. The Chinese Communists control the entrance and exit, both ends of the Panama Canal. The U.S. is now paying 50% of the cost of building Chinese ships in the United States down in Mobile and Alabama and in that area. Your money is being spent to build up the Communists, 50% of their cost. Through the most favored nation trade operation with Communist China, they're receiving, because of the deficit and the tariff and all of that, they're getting approximately $70 billion a year. This gives them hard currency to buy Communist airplanes, Communist missiles, and Communist submarines from Russia. That's how Russia fits into it. Russia is arming Iraq, Iran, and Libya, and Syria, all that group in and around Israel. You ought to read Ezekiel 38 and 39. I teach on it. I've taught on it for years. It's a very interesting thing. There, Henry Kissinger was on CNN's Larry King Live not so long ago, and he was asked the question on a call-in, Mr. Kissinger, what about the 30 to 50,000 foreign troops that are in the United States right now? Get this. He did not deny that statement. His answer? The Americans may soon see the time when they will welcome foreign troops to establish law and order. Remember what Dr. Lacey said? To create the chaos necessary to demand our own enslavement. They can't do it with American troops. They're sending American troops out of the United States, bringing foreign troops in. They're at Eglin Air Force Base down in Florida or Mississippi. I forget which one of those states it's in. I've been down there many times for fire control operations. The whole thing is absolute control. And they got to disarm the American people. Second Amendment says, the right to keep and bear arms shall not be infringed. That means you don't interfere with that. I was asked again at Princeton University, what do you think about gun control? I started to tell him what the bumper sticker says by old Joe Sixpack down in the mountains of Virginia where I lived for 15 years. The bumper sticker says, good gun control requires a firm grip. Now, the other one I saw on an RV. This RV is guarded by a Smith & Wesson and a pit bull with AIDS. Boy, that strikes fear to my heart, and I'm fearless, man. Another one said that old Joe Sixpack is the hope for freedom in the United States. Because you push old Joe Sixpack just so far, and he'll explode all over you. He will. By the way, do you know what a 7-course meal is in Texas? It's an enchilada with a 6-pack. Oh, well. Well, at Princeton University, they asked me what I thought about gun control, and I said, it doesn't make any difference what I think about gun control. Because the Second Amendment says you can't interfere with keeping and bearing arms. Keep means you got it. Bear means you carry it. Now, how do you interpret that? And they said, well, how do you feel about it, person? I said, again, it doesn't make a hoot what I think about it. We're either going to be a constitutional republic or forget it. It's what the law is, not what the Supreme Court says the law is, but what the Constitution says it is. You ought to read the Constitution. Anybody can understand it. The only people that can't are all on the Supreme Court. It was written so we could understand it. In the Waco thing, every one of the 10 amendments of the Bill of Rights was violated. Every one of them. Even the 10th Amendment, which says everything that's not specifically given to the federal government remains with the sovereign state and the people. The only thing that's delegated in the Constitution to the federal government is to international represent the republic and to provide a common defense. State Department, War Department. That's all. All the rest of it's with the states. Wouldn't that be a small government? Did you ever notice the fact that ever when we had a War Department, we never lost a war? Ever since we've had a Defense Department, we've never won one? Well, you can't win on defense. You've got to carry the ball, man. Psychological warfare. So, but by the way, they just finished taking all the weapons away from the citizens of Australia. We even considered at one time it looked like we might have to send 10 or 20,000 Americans down there to help disarm them, but they finally did it. Why do they want to disarm? Well, first off, it's a good drill to learn how to do it. The other one is, 10 years ago, they completed 22 mansions. The Rockefellers completed 22 mansions in Canberra, Australia. They're completely furnished. Nobody living in them except the oldest nephew of David Rockefeller. So guess where they're going when things explode here? Australia. You know, that's the way it goes. Well, they needed to pass some legislation of terrorist control, anti-terrorist laws. Those that were hired to blow up the World Trade Center goofed and blew up. Didn't work. They really hire some real brilliant people to do this sort of thing. The guy that parked the truck in there and got the truck all blown up went back and wanted his deposit. Boy, you talk about brilliant. Deposit? Where's the truck? I don't know, man. Well, that didn't work because, well, I could go into detail the reason it didn't work. So they had to have one, so they blew up the federal building in Oklahoma City, and the government did it. And I could go through and tell you all about it. I could look at the picture and tell you that an explosion outside didn't do it. Man, I've dropped enough bombs and fired enough rockets. If you don't get it inside the building, it ain't going to hurt it. And there is no crater where they said this truck was. It's not there. Well, proves them a liar. Look at what happened over in Saudi Arabia. A truck loaded of something somewhere around 200 or 300 times as powerful as what in Oklahoma City. What did it do? Just blew the glass off of the front of the building. That's all it'll do. There's an excellent video around about the Oklahoma City, questions unanswered, where it points out, and they're not giving you anything. They're just taking unedited photographs and news media that was reported at the time the thing happened. They got three bombs out of there that didn't explode. And you'd go on and on. They say 86, but Hoppy Hallberg, who I met, and he talked to a group of us, he was the man on the, jury, grand jury. But he said he knew that they were withholding evidence from the grand jury. So he had read the book on grand juries, and it said the members of the grand jury has the right to subpoena any witness he wants. So he gave him a list of names that had come up in other testimonies, and they refused to call those witnesses. And so he's gotten into it. He says they killed 86 people, they say, but they really killed 87 because they got a leg, a male leg, in combat boots, Vietnam combat boot, and then a jungle bunny suit, camouflage suit that didn't fit anybody else. So he's probably the guy that's in the truck. McVeigh probably wasn't even on the scene. McVeigh made some unfortunate statements, but I don't think anything to do with it any more than Lee Harvey Oswald shot Kennedy. But that's the way it goes. So right away, boy, we got to get the gun control. We got to get these citizen militaries, this terrorist group under control. A gun wasn't involved in Oklahoma City. Neither were the militias. It didn't make any difference. They railroaded through the Terrorist Control Act. More control. Not on the terrorists, but on you. But on that. I could tell you horror stories, and you know a bunch of them, of the federal government. Terror abounds. The BATF, the Bureau of Alcohol, Tobacco, and Firearms, the FBI, the IRS, the EPA, OSHA, FDA, Labor Department, on down. If they're a terrorist in the country, it's the federal government. They're the terrorist. Some of the statements are worth reading. When I read these, you'll know that these people are real extreme. Governments derive their just powers from the consent of the governed. Wherever any form of government becomes destructive of these ends, it is the right of the people, yea, it is their responsibility to abolish it. When a long train of abuses and usurpations establish a design to reduce the people under an absolute despotism, it is their right, yea, indeed, it is their duty to throw off such a government and to provide a new guard for their future security. Boy, what a radical statement. That's right out of the Declaration of Independence. Thomas Jefferson. The Constitution of most of the sovereign states and the United States proclaim that all power resides in the people, that they may exercise it by themselves only if their right and their duty at all times to be armed. They're entitled to the freedom of person, the freedom of religion, the freedom of property, and the freedom of speech and the press. And he knows what he's talking about. We mentioned John Kennedy. Today we need, and this is in 1961, he was killed 2 years later. Today we need a nation of minutemen, citizens who are not only prepared to take arms, but citizens who regard and the preservation of freedom as the basic purpose of their daily existence and life, and who are willing to consciously work and sacrifice to retain and maintain their freedom. Clearly advocated an armed citizen military constitutionally. What was a militia? All able-bodied men between the ages of 18 and 60. And the last verse of the Star-Spangled Banner, which we no longer sing because it's not politically correct. A little bit of a side thing, I'll quote it first. I used to have to go to work across the Key Bridge, the Francis Scott Key Bridge in Georgetown, to get over to Virginia, and my office was right there on the 8th floor overlooking Washington, D.C. And this plaque there on the bridge, it quotes this, the last words in the Star-Spangled Banner. And conquer we must when our cause it is just, and this be our motto, in God we trust. I drove by one morning, and here was an idiot standing there with hair down, you know, the hippie type. And he was holding a Viet Cong flag. And I've often wondered if that was President Clinton. I don't know. It could have been. But I thought it was funny because he didn't read the sign. The bronze plaque right behind him. Absolute global control. Complete global control. Now, here's the way they're going to bring it all together. Ecology. Pretty clever. This whole thing took form in 1961 and the report from Iron Mountain. And the objective is to take all main rivers and all land within view of that river until at least 75% of all the United States land is off limits to all people. People will be forced to live in the cities where they have absolute control. In the CFR's magazine, if you want to keep up with it, you can read it. It's entitled Foreign Affairs, April 1974. This appeared in a lengthy article. An end run around national sovereignty, eroding it piece by piece, little by little, will accomplish a whole lot more than the old-fashioned frontal attack. We will seek rules and regulations and the general agreement of tariffs and tax at GATT trade fitting. And will subject countries to an unprecedented degree of international control, read United Nations, through surveillance, even into their domestic affairs. The Sierra Club, you say, well, that's just a little club. You ought to check the Sierra Club members in the United Nations in their own government in 1974. And by the way, the Sierra Club and the Greenies and all of those are funded, you guessed it, by the Rockefeller, Carnegie, Mellon, and Ford tax-exempt foundations. And here is their public statement. We cannot implement our agenda or accomplish our objectives until we have total and absolute control of all land use in the United States. Robert Weaver, chief and head of the Department of Housing and Urban Development in 1966, says, regional government means absolute control. By the way, at that time, they had just established the 10 regions of the United States. Over all property and its development everywhere in the United States. Through this authority, we will seek to capture control of the land use which is now held by the people. The organizations they're using for that is the Environmental Protection Agency, EPA, the Clean Water Act, Endangered Species. And man, you could tell horror stories about that. And these environmental organizations get more money from you and I on our taxpayers than the Department of Education, the Department of Welfare, and the Department of Transportation all combined. The Greenies, the Green Advocation Group, of which the Vice President is a member. I like the acronym for the Green Advocacy Group. It's GAG. G-A-G. And I gag at the whole thing. And here's their statement of positions. All life is equal. Plants, insects, and all other creatures have the same right as humans to exist upon the earth. Another one. Private property must be abolished and become community property. Hillary's book, It Takes a Village, they speak about the whole world being the village. You've got to know their language. And another one. Truth and objective science is secondary to achieve our objectives and goals. They don't care whether it's true or not. Just go for it. Al Gore. I love Rush Limbaugh calls him Al Gore. Ozone layer depletion of. National Space Administration 10 years ago said it has nothing to do with anything that goes on the Earth. It's all related to sun activities. Why don't the government do something about that? Well, they can't. They're not controlling the sun, so they can't do anything about it. But you're still hearing about it and all that. Global warming. I stayed in a climatologist's home in Princeton University, Dr. Becker, and he says, global warming's a bunch of hot air. He said, these idiots don't know the difference between climate and weather. Weather is what happens tomorrow, the next day, or a week, or a month, but climate is what happens over 100 years. And he says, we're going back into a cold climate. We've probably finished, he said, 50 to 100 years of the most mild weather that this whole planet, this area has ever experienced. Oh, but we're getting too many people and we're going to starve to death. Boy, what a lie. In the last 40 years, population has doubled, but food production has tripled. If Archer Daniel Midland, who is a part of the conspiracies, Dwayne Andres, took Arm & Hammer's place as the liaison in this whole operation. And I thought Bob Dole should have known better than to fly around all over the country in an Archer Daniel Midland airplane. Dead giveaway. But he didn't know the difference. Did you know that that only 1% of the global land is populated? Somebody did some figuring and said that all the people in the world could be put into the state of Texas and each one would have 1/8 of an acre. Eco groups, all funded by tax exempt former. Here are words you better learn to hear. Biodiversity Treaty. It came out of the Earth Summit in Rio de Janeiro, Brazil, in 1992. President Bush did not sign the treaty, but President Clinton signed it for June 1993. And if it's ever submitted to the Senate and ratified, then it becomes the law of the land. And the Senate probably will. I said, when? It's not when, it's not if, it's when they'll do it, because they'll do it. And Clinton has signed it, and it will become the law of the land. New World Religion. And by the way, they will enforce people staying out of the land. Did you know that 68% of all of our national forests and all of our heritage land has already been transferred to the world biospheres or to the United Nations something thing? And you can see it on the front of Mitchell Mountain down in North Carolina. It's a United Nations something another preserve and all that. 68%. But they want 75% of all the United States. And they're going to get it, probably. The new world religion is coslometry. C-O-S-M-O-L-A-T-R-Y. Coslometry. It's the worship of Gaia, the Greek earth god. And this, as an Episcopalian, this nauseates me. I'm not an Episcopalian anymore, but I was. The Cathedral of St. John the Divine in New York in 1988 became the Temple of Understanding. All 12 members of the board of directors are members of the Global Forum Council. 1994, Vice President Al Gore gave a, quote, sermon in the Temple of Understanding, and he said in this sermon, God is not separate from the earth. Did you hear what he said? If God is not separate from the earth, then the earth is God. And that's what they're worshiping. He is dangerous. My son still lives in the D.C. area. That's where he grew up. And the tree huggers, and speckled-butted salamander sabers or whatever. The
kangaroo rats.
Yeah, that is a horrible one. One farmer lost his whole farm because he couldn't plow without running over these dumb kangaroo rats, which are on the endangered species, and they took his land away. He can't farm it, but he still has to pay taxes on it. The horror stories are just unbelievable. But it's happening now. People are in jail for not doing these things. You can kill somebody and be out quicker. I'll tell you one thing. I'll tell you. A friend of mine, a multimillionaire in Canton, Ohio, actually in the community, Hartville, he paid the bills for getting Patrick Buchanan into the area and all that sort of thing. And he pulled up on the street down in Cleveland, up in Cleveland, and a fellow ran out with a big piece of steel in his arm and was going to knock his window out. And he reached down beside his seat and pulled out his Luger 45 and blew it right in the chest and blew the guy down right through the window. And he drove off. And he got home and he called the chief of police, who he knew. And he said, Chief, I want to tell you what I did. He said, Chief, what should I do? Chief said, well, if I was you, I'd go get my window replaced. That's one more we don't have to worry about. We'll pick him up in the morning. It's in the street. Just go get your window fixed, because if you admit it, you may sue you, and you don't know what else you do. So just go to get a new window put in. Forget it. I love this one. Everywhere they've authorized carrying concealed weapons and trained the people, violent crimes drop around 80%. And all of that sort of thing. But a little black lady down in Georgia, 104 years old, a wiry little gal. She was on TV. You remember that. That was hilarious. A big buck came to the door and going to come in and rob her. She said, no, you don't. And she reached out and grabbed him by the groin and jerked him around, and he went running off down the street. And they interviewed her on TV and asked her about it. Said, he'd be glad I didn't have my gun. You treat criminals like criminals. Praise the Lord. In Washington, D.C., my son was showing me this. They have a T-shirt down there that the ecologists, the tree huggers, and that group. And they have the beautiful picture of the earth, as seen from outer space. And it says, Gaia, Mother Earth. So his church, Holy Redeemer Independent Church, they had T-shirts made the same way, same thing, but their caption says, my father created your mother. He says those ecologists have to look two or three times before they realize they've been had. They don't. Like that bunch of homosexuals that demonstrated in Jesus, Washington for Jesus in 1982. They knew what they were going to do. They had a big sign, that they spread out. And the sign says, I'm homosexual and Jesus loves me. But there was a group right behind them that knew what they were going to do, and they had a sign and says, "Yes, but he hates your sin." Hallelujah. Well, Arnold Toynbee, well, I have to remind myself, you don't see it, but I've got it here. God has everything under control. I don't know how it's going to work out. But Arnold Toynbee and Tolstoy, two great world historians, after writing many, many volumes of books on history, the rise and fall of great nations, summed it up this way. All great nations, all great countries have followed a distinctive pattern. And you'll see it in the Old Testament of the nation of Israel and Judah. Two separate nations, Israel and Judah. From slavery came faith. And from faith came strength. And from strength came abundance. And from abundance came dependence. And from dependence came fear. And from fear back to slavery. We're right now down to dependence and fear. We are really ripe to going into slavery. They say, well, God wouldn't let us do that. Well, he did it for Israel and Judah. He'll do whatever it takes. Boy, this abortion thing is awful. Thank Doc for pointing out that it's a harvest of live brain tissue and spleen tissue. Plus, Pat Robertson confronted one as he related on the 700 Club, and he said to this abortionist doctor, don't you know that's a child, that's a living being? And the doctor looked at him and glowered and said, do you think I'm stupid? Of course I know it's a human being. It's the money. Don't you get it? Yeah, it's the money. If you want to know the truth, follow the money. They're carrying these signs that they want. They kill about 4,000 a day, as I understand it. Brother Glenn's had an excellent letter that he sent to every congressman, every senator, on what the Bible says about the shedding of innocent blood. It's an excellent discourse. What God will do when you shed innocent blood. I'll show you what the liberals do. A woman shot herself in the belly to kill the kid, and they're trying her for murder. This little high school girl that had a child at the prom and smothered it to death, they're trying her for murder. She could have gone down the street and the government would have paid for it and let a doctor kill it. How stupid. I like what George Will said. By the way, George Will's a member of the Trilateral Commission also, and so is Bill Buckley. All those conservatives are all members of the same thing. They control both sides of the party. That's the reason they can call it. They won't ever talk about what I'm talking about. But George Will told old Sam Donaldson, he says, you know, liberalism is not a political philosophy. It's a mental illness. They're just sick. But they think they're right. That's the sad part. They really think they're right. Well, there are many scriptures that come to mind. The one that really puts the rapture thing down, and I didn't have it in one of the 16, is Revelation 22:11. It says this, the Lord Jesus says, I come quickly or very soon. When you see the wicked being more wicked, the filthy being more filthy, the unjust being more unjust, comma, but at the same time, you will see the righteous being more righteous and the holy being more holy. Glory to God. Right there, side by side. And then, of course, Revelation 12:11. Kyle didn't quote this one, but it's very good because it said, and they overcame Satan by the blood of the Lamb and their lifestyle, their testimony and their lifestyle, and they loved not their life unto death. Trinity Broadcasting Network, if you'd give them $100 contribution in 1 month, they would send you a brass plaque which quoted that, except they put dot, dot, dot. They wouldn't put on there, and they love not their life unto death. Boy, that's deception if you ever saw it. Proverbs 3, verses 5 and 6, and this is the scripture that Gerald Ford took when he was sworn in as president. And I have it on my mirror, and my beloved wife has it on hers. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not unto your own understanding. And in all your ways acknowledge Him, and He will direct your path.
Hallelujah.
You must be led by the Spirit of God. I can't tell you what to do, because what you'll have me to do may be different from what you'll do. And Billy Graham said a long time, if you find two Christians doing the exact same thing, one of them miss God. because it's a many-membered body, and each of us have a different function. And, of course, I know you've heard it, and you've heard it many times. 2 Chronicles 7:14, but you can't beat it. If my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then, and I would say only then, will I hear from heaven. I will forgive their sins, and I will heal their land. Lord, that's our prayer. Let each of us repent of our sins, turn from our wicked ways, and heal our land. I'd like to give you some other information. I've already mentioned the chart and the conspiracy for global control and that sort of thing. And I don't really know who sent me this. I get a lot of things in the mail with no return address, but all about the ecologies in this right here. It's their documents. It's what came from Stone Mountain. Top secret documents are in there. Don't know how they got them. But if anybody wants to write and get it, and I think $10 would be a reasonable amount to send him. I won't give his name. But it's the Citizens for Constitutional Property Rights, CCPR, would be fine. Post Office Box 757, Crestview, CRESTVIEW, Florida, zip 32536-, and it's the mailbox, 0757. A best report I've ever seen on the ecology thing. And it really spells it out in detail. Now, once you've decided you're not going to fly away, and Kathy, when I'm back there, can give you one of these little things. It's a list of 16 talks that I've given on knowing the times and seasons and all of that, Mr. 666 and the Mark of the Beast and all that stuff. You can pick it up, and they have all of them here. Don't order them from me. Just get it from here. And as Glenn pointed out, the spotlight. This is the only cheap, really, way to keep up with what's going on in the world. Spotlight. 51 issues for $59. And you can call them. I'll give you the 800 number. Call 800-522-6292. Outstanding. They give you a full report on what the Bilderbergers are doing and had done. Colonel Archibald Roberts, the Bulletin, the Committee for the Restoration of the Constitution. It's only $25 a year, and the phone number, 303-484-2575. Here's one that's a little more expensive, but boy, does he really treat it. McIlvaney Intelligence Advisory. Christian, I know him. In fact, I could say he knows me. But it's $115 for 12 issues. But boy, it is well worth it. And I'll give you the 800 number. 800-528-0559. His last one is How to Reclaim America and how we can do it. And if you want to read the thing, here's the treaty that surrendered our sovereignty, which the Senate approved 2nd day of April 1992. That was the last thing George Bush did before he left, was submit it. And they ratified it. And we cease to be. I think we're pretty late. Yeah, way late. If there were any questions, we'll go about 10 minutes. Is that all right for 10 minutes of questions and try to answer? Yes, sir.
Are there copies of that last document
on the treaty?
Yes.
I'll tell you what, I'll give you this one. And if anybody else wants it, they can get it from you. Because that's on the paper out of old Kinko's or any other printer can do that size. It's 17 by, what, 11 and a half or 14, something like that. Yeah, and it's a whole thing. Well, you've been very patient. God bless you and keep you. And he will. Praise the Lord. I'm sorry?
Will you be selling that magazine?
It's back there on the table. And when you buy this chart and the magazine, the money stays here. It's just a contribution to Lake Hamilton Bible Camp.
There are a couple of government cases that came up in Arizona a few years ago. I have an old book on it. You might leave it.
Uh-huh.
The space
How many of these are they?
It's the same as if
how many what?
How many medals have you?
Well, I have a total of 24 personal combat decorations, and the rest of them you can count them. I haven't counted them. Well, probably so.
Any
no doubt about it.
Violates the Constitution is the same as if it had never been made.
That's right.
Why can't we, as the people, since we're supposed to be the government,
you can
demand that they change it?
You can. Did you know that there are 14 states that are now threatening to secede from the United States if they don't withdraw from the United Nations?
Oh,
you can contribute that to Lieutenant Colonel Archibald Roberts, who went around, drafted all the papers of how they do it and how they petition it. It's unconstitutional. The whole
head of the Marines was in the late 50s.
Who?
Chester Fuller.
Oh, he never was the head of the Marines. He was a regimental commander. He was just a bird colonel. He never made general. No.
A. Vandergriff was commandant when I was.
Yeah. Old Big Stick Vandergriff carrying his. He came to Bougainville while we were there carrying his big cane.
Whatever happened with Michael New?
Michael New?
Yes.
I've introduced him twice in Ohio. That's the first time I ever did that sort of thing. They insisted that I told him I can't get in the uniform. And they said, well, bring it and hang it on a hanger. I said, oh, so I did that, and that's the first time I ever did it. But I introduced him, and I gave a speech. He doesn't speak very well, because he's a very modest lad. They're still raising money, and I still send what I can every month for a defense fund to try to get it up to the Supreme Court, because it was clearly unconstitutional. He couldn't...
Did they arrest him on what?
They discharged him from Marine Corps with a bad conduct discharge, the same thing Oswald got for shooting at a staff NCO.
How do you think they're going to get our guns away from us?
Well, I don't know that they will.
I don't think they will.
Well, then shape up, man. You know, they did in Australia, and I didn't think they'd ever get the guns away from those Aussies. And I don't think they got them all. They got some buried around there. Americans that know what's going on have gone down and bought PCV, that big white pack with two big sealed ends, and they got their weapons buried in that stuff and a lot of ammunition. Yeah, but you see, they're all CFR and trilateral.
Yeah.
They're not.
Talk to or Larry Nichols.
Yeah, I know Larry. He come to Ohio. Larry Nichols and Larry Patterson. Larry Patterson was the state trooper that took Clinton around for his liaisons. And Larry Patterson, they'd never called him because he was the head of the Arkansas Development Fund, and it was all millions of dollars were going on.
The information that Larry Nichols is supposed to have, I heard that he tried to present it to the congressional
hearing,
but they wouldn't accept it.
That's right, and I faxed his resume of where the money went from that and of all the people who had been killed. Larry was pretty smart because when he put out his the Clinton Chronicles on video, he had a whole bunch of them ready to go because at that time 40 people had been killed that challenged the Clintons. Now the count is up to 60, as I understand it.
I've got number two.
And so he just flooded the market with this so that if they ever killed him, it would be notarized. No, they don't want the truth. It's a rigged show. I appeared as a witness on the JFK assassination because I held Oswald's records. And... I went to the Supreme Court building and was interviewed, and I could tell at the interview they had already made up their minds. They were just getting facts to support for those. Oswald shot John Connally, but he didn't shoot at Kennedy. Officer Tippett of the Dallas Police Force shot Kennedy in the back of the neck, came out his throat. He grabbed his throat, and then the bullet went out over John Connally and hit him in the forehead and blew the back of his head off, and his brains on the trunk. His wife climbed out on the trunk and gathered his brains up. And she still had his brains in her hands when they got to the hospital. So the guy over in the hedgerow is the one that actually killed him. And then Oswald was just a patsy. But Oswald decided, as long as I'm here... See, if you get into assassination, it's pretty simple. You have somebody dead ahead or somebody dead behind and one on either side. And then if they all miss, then you got a guy in a high place and then he lays it on them. And he's the last one to shoot. They shoot one, two, three, four... if everybody misses. And so Oswald knew that he wasn't going to have to shoot, but he'd got his bad conduct discharge for from the Marine Corps, VCD, which is next to dishonorable, and that was a plea bargain. And went to the Soviet Union for 3 years to be trained as an agent, came back to the United States and founded the Fair Play for Cuba, and had an airline ticket in his pocket to go to Mexico. So he started his escape route, and he came out of a hedgerow, and here sent Officer Tippett, who was supposed to kill him. Airline ticket in his pocket, into the Soviet Union, perfect patsy. But Oswald slips up and kills Officer Tippett. Now Oswald's in the driver's seat, but the bagman, Rubenstein, a homosexual, head of the owned a carousel nightclub, he has to kill Oswald because Oswald will spill his guts and tell him all about it. So he kills Oswald, and they send Rubenstein to prison, interject him with carcinogenics, and he's dead with cancer in 6 months. And that's the end of the story. The FBI was never allowed to investigate it because J. Edgar Hoover knew it was going to happen, and he just kept quiet about it. Well, this is interesting, the Oklahoma thing. There's a little problem between the FBI and the BATF. The BATF knew it was going to be blown up, but they didn't tell the FBI, and the FBI lost two agents in the explosion.
Yeah, there wasn't any BATF agents in the building.
No, they were alerted at 4 o'clock in the morning by a beeper not to come to work.
You're saying that in the Oklahoma City...
The government did it.
Within the building?
Yeah. People, here's a witness that was on this thing that I told you of actual people making statements.
This is the end of this message. Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com and LHBCOnline.com. There are many free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home. Thank you.